Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, talk a little about my COVID test today. Some Hard Knocks, HBO. Take some interesting listener calls as well. First, quick few seconds for JB Weld. JB Weld, they're a proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. Been around for 50 years plus. You can go to jbweld.com, retailers everywhere. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. Yeah, I will tell you about something I learned from a Hard Knocks training camp, and we'll take a deep dive into the NFL great Chuck Muncy. Oh, I know. I think you'll be interested. We'll hit that as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle on at Geico? Geico makes it easy to take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance along with your automotive policy and bundle it up and save. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save when you get your bundle happening at Geico. That is geico.com.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Sammy the Bull Gravano, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, his mob nickname was the Brillo, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The choice is going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
What in the white nonsense is this?
All right, stuff to talk about before we get to Sammy the Bull.
Does it have anything to do with that?
We'll get into all of what Gina's pointing to at some point. Sammy the Bull, everyone knows the name. I don't know if everyone knows what he's accused of or what he did or how his trajectory was. So I just had Kalen read me his bio, and I thought Dawson should just read Sammy the Bull's bio, so we're all sort of tuned up for when he comes in.
He confessed to involvement in 19 murders as a government witness, agreed to turn state's evidence in 1991 and testify against John Gotti. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison, having already served four, then entered witness protection in Arizona, which he left in 1995. He ran a major ecstasy trafficking organization in the 90s, grossing $500,000 a week. Arrested on state and federal drug charges in 2000 and sentenced to 20 years. Released from prison in September of 2017, he played a key role in planning and executing the 1985 murder of Gambino boss Paul Castellano, soon after which he became underboss for the family. Born in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, New York, both of his parents were from Sicily. Father ran a small dress factory and maintained a good standard of living.
Oh, nice.
Favored emphasizing more sophisticated schemes involving construction, trucking, and garbage disposal, instead of loan sharking, gambling, and hijackings. He joined the Rampers, a prominent street gang in Bensonhurst at age 13. Drifted into the La Cosa Nostra and became a particular favorite of family boss Joe Colombo. He was initiated into the Gambino family as a made man in 1976 and committed his first murder in 1970 when he shot Joseph Colucci in the head. He got the nickname Sammy because someone once said he looked like his Uncle Sammy. Two made men saw him fight a few kids at once who stole his bike, and they told him he fought like a bull.
And that's where the name comes from. So we'll talk to him, see what he's up to. He's doing a podcast.
What?
God.
My question is always, if you turn state's witness and do all this stuff and go into witness protection, how confident are you doing things like this? I mean, do you just outlive everybody that would have a grievance against that?
I guess at a certain point, I mean, also, I don't know, it was well chronicled in the Steve Martin film, My Blue Heaven.
That's true.
But you take these guys, you know, you picture the scene from Goodfellas where Ray Liotta's, you know, getting the table at the Copa. Mm-hmm. And then you picture him at some, you know, two-bedroom, 1,200-foot place outside of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And you take that guy and you go, you're going to go from all the action to none of the action. How long is that guy going to be in that environment?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? The only person I've known who was able to pull that off was Teresa Strasser.
Turn state's witness.
She moved to Arizona. I was like, did. You'll be back. No. And she never came back.
She's got a prize in her head.
She's doing well. All right. So we'll talk to him about that. I had a funny thing. I got a note from someone at the kid's school a couple days ago, and it's, I don't know, COVID protocol. But then under the name, the pronouns were given as we have. I don't know. Can you opt out of pronouns? Just not put your pronouns on your thing, but you have to give your pronouns. And then under it, it said home of the Spartans. And I thought to myself, wow, we go from pronouns, we drop down a quarter inch, and it's home of the most vicious fighting force in the world. Sure. And I thought, you could get no further from the Spartans than pronouns.
They, them?
Yes. And then also I started thinking about it, when they do the, I don't know, he, him, his stuff on there. You had me at he.
Yeah.
I can do the, I can cascade from there.
Once you do the he.
I took an English class.
Yeah.
I can conjugate
right,
from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, no one's ever going to go, give he keys so he can leave. Like, we'll do the math after you just do the he. It's a little less obnoxious. We got you.
Yeah.
All right. So pronouns are now a thing. Also got a, this is a step further. Got an email from a producer in one of the networks. It's a female, and it said, not only do we get the pronouns, but it said, I stand against injustice. I support humanity. Now you have to now lay out your bona fides.
I would have assumed you did.
Everyone stands against injustice. It's 2021. You work in the TV industry. You're in Los Angeles. We get it, hero.
Can I one up you?
Hmm.
Took Andy to Hamilton last night. Oh, nothing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it was glorious and amazing and beautiful and perfect. I'm reading the bios, and there's a lot of pronouns in the bios. The bio for an actor in a touring company of Hamilton wanted to make sure that we knew that they thought Black Lives Matter and Trans Lives Matter.
Oh,
I would assume you would think that. And I'm down. But you needed to save that space in the bio.
Yeah. I ironically, if you're reading the playbill of a play that was acted out by Longshoremen, it would actually get you some clarity.
It would be a conversation piece.
Not in a Broadway musical. No. All right.
Also, how was Hamilton?
It was beautiful.
How long was it?
Like 2.5. But it was, you know, it's interesting. I'm not poo-pooing any part of it. And we all got used to seeing, you know, the big, glorious original version that they put on Disney Plus. But everyone was outstanding in the energy. I have to say, the least dynamic characters, Hamilton and the two Schuyler sisters. And everybody else was incredible. But they a little understated for what this musical is supposed to be. But it was unbelievable.
Really?
A little, like, playing a little close to the vest.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
How do they, how do you think you pass that audition if you're
well,
that?
Interesting, because I'm obsessed with reading bios. I take it all in about 10 minutes before the show, and then during the intermission, I like have to go back and like study it because now I know who I'm looking at and what they've done. I'm obsessed. And I think the guy who played Hamilton won multiple awards for playing Hamilton in England.
Star.
Yeah, maybe he just was like not into a Tuesday night crowd. I don't know.
Semi-ironically, I was just having this conversation over the weekend with somebody who's a big Hamilton fan in the production,
right.
The one we all know. Hamilton himself was maybe the weak link.
That's a lot of people
not
feel
he was
that way.
Bad, but there are people that were luminescent
absolutely.
Stars, and there's Hamilton. It's like, yeah, he's pretty good.
You're absolutely right, and that's part of it. Maybe we all got used to what we got used to, and like, wow, he's playing a little too real. But it was beautiful. The songs, I know them all backward and forward, and they had a new life. I highly recommend going if you can still get tickets.
Gaying. All right.
I'm sorry. Can I show you what I saw on the way home from Hamilton?
Yes.
Remember a while back when I showed you a picture of this like two-story structure that was built under the Cahuenga Pass in Hollywood? Mm-hmm. It's gotten, I don't want to call it a facelift, a paint job?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we passed, and I had to take a quick picture last night because we were driving. No, the other, that was coming up to it. Is there another one? Yeah. A lot more colorful. I think it says no mask, no vax, no problem. It says weed. It's a lot more colorful, but there's still the two-story slide.
Right. Oh. There's still the slide, yeah. It
Oofa.
It is, yes.
So good luck walking under there if you're trying to get into Hollywood.
Yeah. It is, we're literally building in a place that is amongst the most difficult regions in the world to obtain a building permit. We're now building on city sidewalks with zero permit and zero problems.
Coming upstairs.
They can't be up to code.
I passed by when I was driving out to the marina the other day. I drove through Venice and just saw the row of RVs that are parked.
Yeah.
And I also thought, there's two things in Los Angeles that we're kind of wacky about. And one is building and any kind of permitting, but the other is where you park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are insane about parking.
Yes.
And the notion that there's all these RVs just stacked up and people living out of them, the notion that they have wheels and they're parked on a city street. I mean, look, you park in a handicap zone,
Good luck.
$700. You go through the diamond lane, it's $450. Mm-hmm. Bucks. Your bumper's hanging a quarter inch into the red paint. You're going to get a full ticket. We are very particular about our parking here. I told you guys when I did a man show bit once, I was out on the street in Melrose and I was doing a man on the street bit, and some woman got out of her car, was walking for the meter, and I like slid in and with the camera and was like doing a kind of man on the street. She got a ticket
while she was
on her way to the meter. Yes, because I slid in and interrupted her action for 10 seconds. The point is you can just park huge rotting Winnebagos on the street and just live. And by the way, you know, Venice isn't Beverly Hills or Malibu, but the average price of a house there is $2.2 million.
Easily.
Like, you're dealing with very expensive real
estate. Oceanfront property.
And you got RVs parked in front. By the way, if you have a neighbor with an RV that they just park in front of their house, it's mildly annoying.
I would say. That happened to me.
Yeah. You could imagine a wagon train between, you walk down your front driveway and you're staring at the side of an RV because there's a wagon train of them.
And this isn't the shiny ones at the toy hauler convention. These are not nice looking.
No, and it obviously we just need to move and act and get rid of all this stuff. And I was thinking about it because I was talking to Dr. Drew about this. I made a note. Yeah, so it's always like we like to talk like root causes. Like, what are the root causes? Like, what are the root causes of homelessness? Or what's the root cause of everything? Or you could just tow the fucking RV and we could get on with our lives. But it's like root cause. And I always think back on my grandfather, who I actually looked up. I was like, when did grandpa die? 1997, July of 1997. I kind of remember where I was when I got the phone call.
Are we talking about Laszlo?
Laszlo Gorog, yeah. I kind of remember because somebody sent me a bunch of clips from Hollywood Squares, and I was trying to think, like, what year is that from? Well, I knew it had to be before my grandfather died, because we all remember the story of him being underwhelmed that his loser grandson was on his favorite TV show.
Well, he is part of the family.
Yeah. Right, so it was Hollywood Squares before that, but root causes, you know. It's funny. So when I used to wet the bed when I was a kid, my mom and others were more like the L.A. Chamber of Commerce or the L.A. City Council or legislator. Like, they were looking for something that didn't exist. It was like, well, he has emotional problems, mm-hmm. and the bedwetting is really just a manifestation mm-hmm. of these mental issues he's having. And maybe he needs therapy because the repressed urine or something. You know, it was all this pie-in-the-sky nonsense bullshit talk, but old-school grandpa's the one who would just watch Carson turn the TV off at 1 a.m. and then walk past me sleeping on his sofa after I went to bed at 9:30, and he would just wake me up, hold a bucket, and I would piss into the bucket.
Man of action.
Yes, yeah. That was like, he was a boots-on-the-ground kind of guy. Never wet his sofa because he just woke me up. He woke me up at 1 a.m. and he said, piss in the bucket. And I pissed in the bucket. I don't know why I had to piss in a bucket.
Why a bucket? Like one of those ionized, like, garden metal buckets?
We're not animals, Jane. Okay. No, it was, I think it was an old school, like, plastic mop bucket. And the reason I peed in the bucket is because there was only one bathroom, and that was in their room.
Oh, sure.
So I would have had to make my way through. I euphemistically called a master bedroom, for lack of a better term. It was the bedroom. The only bedroom in the house had the bathroom attached to it. The only bathroom in the house was attached to the only bedroom in the house. So I don't think he wanted me walking out and waking grandma up. So he just,
smart.
He'd make his little, you know, he'd wake me up, this little noise, you know, you know, these little noises, and he'd wake me up, and then he'd just, you know, point at the bucket, and I'd be like half asleep. But I pissed, man. Like, I had to pee. I was going to wet my bed an hour and 20 minutes later, but he woke me up.
Yeah.
And think about it. Like, why are we talking about, like, emotional and psychological? I had a full bladder. I drained the bladder, and I fell back to sleep, and that was it.
It's funny, because in therapy, it's like, you know, old school analysis. Like, oh, but we got to get to the root and why. Nobody really does that anymore. It's behavioral therapy. Okay, mm-hmm. We don't really care why. Let's just get you to change the behavior. And I got to tell you, it works like magic.
All right. Well, a little more of that would be good with the homeless situation out here. Also,
do you guys have noises?
What do you mean?
Do you make a noise for? I'll give you an example. Christy hates it. She hates it so much, and she's told me so many times. But I go, psst, psst, get her attention.
Oh, that's annoying.
Not all the time, but typically in like a crowd, yeah. like at a party or a dinner or the store. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Walking, because she goes, I hate that. I'm like, it works every single time. Psst, her head just shoots up like a fucking meerkat.
I hate it.
It works.
My one rich friend.
If I need to get hold of, I don't want to yell across, you know, the restaurant. Christy!
I had one rich friend. His name was Tom. He was black. And he was the one guy I knew. His dad was a hand surgeon. And when I was in high school, he had a whistle. And he'd go, where is that? I can't whistle. He'd go, hoo-hoo, yeah. hoo-hoo, and he'd whistle it. And if we were, like, at a party that he showed up at, or at some crowded place or school assembly
works.
Or something, he'd just come in and go, and we'd go, huh, what? Where's Tom? And we'd just, like, turn around. Yeah. I wasn't annoyed by it. I said, that's a siren song.
$10 says their family had a family whistle, because we had a family whistle.
Oh, you
that's
did?
How my, yeah, it would be like, it was not tough.
The
like,
shofar?
Tequila. It was the same. The only noise I make that everybody hates, but the kid, everyone's used to it now, and I try not to do it on the show, is
that's awful. That's terrible.
It's to, like, scratch my throat.
It sounds like Phil before he brings up a moccasin.
Yeah, it's like a cross between, like, a pig and
that's
I guess
terrible.
Just a pig.
It's very, very, very ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah, they always call it the grad boy itch, but I got it too.
Here, let me ask you something. Unless we have more to say about sounds, but it just occurred to me. You're always going on about family and education, you know, being the root cause of so many of the problems in certain communities, which I agree with. If you want to, you know, fix those problems, it's not free lunch, like you say. It's not this. It's not food stamps. It's not that. It's not welfare. It's fix the root of the problem. Why that there and not here with homelessness? I feel like it's the same thing. Well, not the same thing, but, you know, the same strategy.
Well, here's what I think with, yes, it is. It is. It's always family and education. But I think with homelessness here, first off, you have a lot of people from other,
family education. Why not attack the root problem with homelessness?
So family and education.
As we would with other problems.
All right. So here's my take on that. I'm all for family and education as a kind of prophylactic. You know, once you get into prison, it's kind of hard to build a time machine. These people, that ship has sailed. I suspect many of these people, of all these people, are schizophrenic, drug addict, or all the above with all kinds of mental whatever. They also probably all come here, not all, many come here from somewhere else. Sure. These are not all Los Angelinos that are on the sidewalk.
Better to live on the street here than in, you know, Provo.
Yeah, the weather's good.
It's probably pretty clean there.
The weather's good, and we are hospitable. Okay, so they come here. I am guessing that all of these people wore through their friends and family. Too many episodes, too much, you know, dad's going, you can sleep on the sofa, but if you're sober, you know, if you're not sober, you can't stay in the house. Too many crazy, you know, moms waking up with someone standing at the foot of their bed with a machete. And they probably burned through whatever system they possibly had. Some didn't have a very good system at the beginning. Most people have some system, couple of high school friends. I mean, we've all crashed at people's houses and sort of sofa surfed a little bit, not couch surf, alliteration. But I think they burnt through their system and now they're here and they need to enter our system. But yes, I would obviously prefer everyone. Because look, I hate when people speak this way, but whoever you're passing on the sidewalk, that's somebody's son. Yeah. Somebody's absolutely daughter, somebody's brother, yes, somebody's sister, somebody's ex-best friend from high school or teammate on varsity, you know, water polo or something.
At some point.
Yeah. They had something. Yeah. I think they stole too much, went through too much. And this is how I know it's got to be drugs or schizophrenia or whatever it is, because if it's as the great Gavin Newsom says, you know, the mother of three who has a full-time job and is getting paid minimum wage, is if the difference between you hitting the sidewalk is $3.50 an hour being tacked on to your wages. But if that, in fact, is the person, if that person is intact mentally and not addicted to anything, the people, you could argue that the poor people, the minimum wagers with the kids, minus the drugs and minus the mental issues, their community is bigger and stronger than rich guys. I mean,
absolutely.
I know people that are rich, but we don't all go to the park together for the kid's birthday and hang the pinata and cook for everybody and meals.
Yes.
And there's a group. There's coworkers. There's a bunch of people. And if you kind of study, for me, I mean, I got it from doing construction all those years with a bunch of poor Hispanics. They got a community, you know,
a
they
network.
Gather together. They go to church. They go to the parks. They congregate. They cook meals, big meals like together and stuff like that. So if one of them lost their job or not even lost their job, their husband moved to Florida, then there'd be some staying in the spare bedroom or putting up an air mattress in the garage for a few weeks until they could get back on their feet or what have you. It wouldn't be that. By the way, California hasn't charged rent in 2 years.
That's
I don't know
true.
How you're getting booted out of your place and hitting the street if you're not actually having to pay rent.
That's true. Didn't you tell us that there was like a strong, like, Hungarian artistic community when your grandfather moved here? Like, this is a long story tradition of certain ethnic groups, like, helping each other.
Yeah, there were a group of Hungarian writers and creators in Hollywood, like, in the 40s. And when my grandfather got here, you know, didn't speak the language very well, didn't have any money, and they kind of cobbled some money together, gave him a stipend, tried to get him involved with some of their projects, helped translate and type, you know, some of his stories.
This is not a new
TVs.
Idea. This is what
communities do. Old. It takes a village.
Yeah.
All right. Also, let's see, what else did I put on my notes? Oh, I got a nasal swab today, and I got to do some, I don't know, some TV show tomorrow. I can't remember which one, some CNN inventions or something. I don't know the name of the show. I'll figure it out. But had to be tested with the rapid test.
Have they moved away from the brain scrape? They're just doing the inside of the nose now?
No, but they did something that was interesting. So I had the nurse show up. She's doing the rapid test. And she handed me the swab and said, you can do it yourself. And I said, oh,
I can't
okay.
I can do.
And I put it up my ass and I handed it back to her. And she handed it to me and she goes, just go ahead and swab it out and hand it back. And I said, okay. And she said, see if you can get to the notch. There's a notch in the handle. See if you can make it to the notch. I looked at the notch. The notch is 3 inches down the pipe. Now, we're showing it, but you have to pull the notch. You have to sort of blow it up to catch the notch. The notch is...
That's halfway down the straw.
It's 3.5 inches down the straw. It's like, look, it can go in. Eventually, it's going to stop, or it's going to hit an eyeball or a frontal lobe.
Some
like
membrane or something to be tickled.
That's insane.
I told her that.
Have you guys, am I the one in this building who's only has had that one? Like the one where the guy did
never,
it for me, too.
No.
He's like, lean your head back.
Not that one. I've never had. I couldn't do it.
It was way up there.
I put it up about, you know, about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half, you know, halfway to the notch. And then it just stopped. Like at a certain point, that's all I got.
Not enough grit.
And, no more real estate.
He said, she said, yeah, just rub it around and give it back to me. The notch is sort of
no, ma'am.
The notch is that thing, you know, it's when you used to play pinball and the high score was up there or Galactica or whatever it is.
Galaga.
Galaga. Yeah, or whatever.
He had the mallet.
Yeah, that was a high score that was on top with the guy's initials next to it.
Right.
Yeah, I would like to meet the American who made it to that notch. I got good eyeballs. It is 3.25 inches. It is essentially you taking half a ballpoint pen and putting it up there.
Adrian Brody
might make it to that notch. All right. Also, I was watching Hard Knocks training camp last night.
Who is it?
Dallas Cowboys. The best 4 episodes on TV because it's just kind of the ultimate drama. You know, the guys, you know, everyone's got to make the cut now. They're going to reduce down to the 55-man roster and promising quarterback throws 3 picks. And by the way, that's it. You're not back. Like when I went and took Steven, the electrician, to try out to be a kicker for the Arena League, they're just like, we put one center 40 yards out. We went one to the right, one to the left. Hash and you kick it, and if you miss any of them, that's it. There's no had a bad day or come back tomorrow or it's whatever.
You don't get another 16 bars at an audition to sing.
That's
right. That's your chance.
Gang. Point is,
as Jerry Jones said,
I was watching it, and one of the players, one of the rookies, had goggles, like glasses, like rookie running backs got the glasses on under the helmet. Interesting. I was saying to Sonny, you got to watch Hard Knocks training camp. It's the best show. And he's like, how many are there? I'm like, 4. I'm like, all right.
How is he not all about that?
That's what I said. And I screamed, you're not my son, as loud as I could. And then I calmed myself and I said, well, we should watch it. He goes, nah, I'll wait till it's done. I'll watch them all.
Yeah, that's
and
how
I'm
the
like,
kids do
I'm
it.
Like, no, just watch every Tuesday. They come out. They're great. He's like, nah, I need to watch them all.
That's generational.
Not satisfying.
No. He wants to binge it.
Yeah, but where's the foreplay, man? All right. So anyway, I was watching it and they pointed the guy with the goggles and someone says, you look like Chuck Muncy and you look like Eric Dickerson, two guys who famously wore kind of the glasses and the goggles in the leak. And of course, he's 23 and goes, who? And then nobody knows less about guys who played in the league than guys who are in the league currently. That's the one thing you'll learn from watching Hard Knocks training camp. But anyway, so I thought, yeah, Chuck Muncy. This is an interesting guy. He's really like the first guy to wear kind of glasses, goggles in the league. I remember him as a San Diego Charger. Big running back, tons of potential. So, of course, I do what I do. I put it on pause, and I got to wonder, where's Chuck Muncy? Is he alive? What's he doing? And I told Dawson to just grab Chuck Muncy's story because there's really not a human being. I just got done looking up my grandfather. Mm-hmm. There's really nobody, except for maybe my mom and my dad, who you'd like Google their life and go, wow, this is crazy. It's all kind of interesting, and it's all tragic.
Right.
Oh, great.
Did he have like this Terminator style situation?
He had, we looking at Chuck Muncy?
I think so.
Yeah, he was an all pro running back who wore kind of the goggles, pre goggles, or, you know, he had thick prescription glasses that he wore. But anyway, the great all pro Chuck Muncy.
Muncy was born and raised in the Pittsburgh area town of Uniontown, Pennsylvania, as one of six children in a football playing family. His three brothers called him Chuck because they did not like the name Harry.
Okay.
And that was his original name, Harry Vance Muncy. But they just called him Chuck. When he was six, Muncy was hit by a truck, breaking his thigh, leg, hip, and arm. He was in a cast from his neck to his toes for 6 months.
Jesus.
And doctors warned that he might never be able to walk properly again.
Of course, the doctors. He's all pro in the league, you know, 14 years later.
And I don't care how many stories of breaking things you've heard. Have you ever heard of someone breaking their thigh? You never hear that.
That's tough, yeah.
Muncy recovered to become a multi-sport athlete, but the accident left his left leg shorter than his right. He compensated by playing with a shoe with an extra thick sole.
Have you ever heard of an NFL running back with the add-a-leaf sole?
No, never heard of that.
With Muncy's father disabled, Muncy's mother led the household and ensured that her kids were educated. After seeing many of his relatives suffer from black lung disease and severe burns, Muncy had no desire to work in coal mines or the steel mills. He viewed athletics as his way out of Uniontown. In his sophomore year at Uniontown Area High School, Muncy played football. However, he quit playing after three games during his senior year when he suffered a concussion and his mother wanted him to stop playing. He turned to basketball, averaging 18 points per game for the Uniontown Red Raiders and earning an athletic scholarship to play basketball for Arizona Western Junior College, now Arizona Western College. While at Arizona Western, the football coach convinced Muncy to try out for football as well, and Muncy made the team. He never played basketball for the school, and he received a scholarship from the University of California, Berkeley, after 1 year. At Berkeley, Muncy was a star running back for the California Golden Bears during the 1970s. He was big, fast, and elusive, and a good receiver. He was instrumental in Cal's NC2A leading offense, which propelled the team to the co-championship of the Pac-8 in 1975. And he became the first Golden Bear to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Huh? Muncy set the school's single-season records for rushing yards, all-purpose yards, and rushing touchdowns. He was a runner-up for the Heisman Trophy behind two-time winner Archie Griffin of Ohio State. Muncy outrushed and outscored Griffin, but Ohio State was 11-0 and ranked number one at the time.
Interesting.
Muncy was awarded the 1975 W.J. Voigt Memorial Trophy as the outstanding football player on the Pacific Coast. He finished his college career and then school career records for rushing yards, 3,052, rushing touchdowns, 32, 100-yard rushing games, 15, and all-purpose yards, 4,194.
So
we're still in college?
you grow up in this, you know, mining town. You get hit by a truck, and your dad's disabled, so things don't start off that well.
But everyone then, you know, has the black lung.
Right.
Climb.
I think all black people have that gene. Oh, God. Look into that.
You're right.
No, their lungs are actually pink. Hmm? Yeah, they are. No, it's just like yours and mine.
Right.
No.
hold on. Let me just talk to Drew, and we'll pick this up tomorrow.
Settle the score. The
point is next thing you know, he's runner-up in the Heisman, and he's going to Cal. I mean, what could be further from a mining town than Berkeley? And now he's going high in the NFL draft.
This next line feels like a non sequitur. I'm sure it'll come back to it. But in his senior year in 1976, Muncy began using cocaine. He graduated from Berkeley with a Bachelor of Arts degree in school social studies with a minor in business. Muncy was inducted into the Cal Athletic Hall of Fame in 1995. Muncy was selected by the New Orleans Saints in the first round with third overall selection of the 1976 NFL draft. Muncy teamed with Saints second round pick Tony Galbraith to form a backfield dubbed by then coach Hank Stram as Thunder and Lightning.
How original.
Muncy played in the Pro Bowl after the 1979 season with the Saints and was selected as the most valuable player of the game. He was the first Saints player to be named to the Pro Bowl and also was the first Saints player to ever reach the 1,000-yard rushing plateau when he ran for a then-team record of 1,198 yards in 1979. Coming from the tolerant environment in Berkeley, it was a culture shock for Muncy in New Orleans, where his house and car were regularly vandalized by racists, despite his living in a nice neighborhood. He frequently expressed his unhappiness in New Orleans. Saints coach Dick Nolan grew tired of Muncy being late for meetings and practices. After the Saints began the 1980 season with an 0-4 record, they traded Muncy to the 4-0 Chargers.
Yeah.
Mid-season trade.
Your Bolts, Dawson.
Yeah. Probably a bye week, though. With the Chargers, Muncy was selected for the Pro Bowl twice as a member of their high-scoring Air Coryell offense. He also appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated two additional times during the NFL playoffs. He enjoyed his best season in 1981 when he ran for 1,144 yards and 19 touchdowns, tying the then NFL season record for rushing touchdowns. He went on to rush for 120 yards and a touchdown in San Diego's 41-38 win over the Miami Dolphins in a famous playoff game known as the Epic in Miami, and 94 yards in the AFC title game known as the Freezer Bowl. Muncy also helped lead the team to two AFC West division championships. After the 1982 season, former New Orleans teammate Don Reese said he used cocaine with Muncy during their time with the Saints. Muncy said that he had cut down on his cocaine since his trade to San Diego.
It's not a diet.
He admitted he still had a problem with alcohol and marijuana, and he underwent an initial round of rehabilitation. However, after missing a bed check and a practice during training camp, he underwent 3 weeks of additional rehabilitation and returned for the start of the 1983 season. Before the second game of 1984 against the Seattle Seahawks, Muncy missed the team's charter flight from San Diego. When he arrived in Seattle, he told coach Don Coryell that vandals slashed the tires on his car. Coryell didn't believe him and sent him back to San Diego. 2 days later, Muncy was traded to the Miami Dolphins for a second-round draft pick. At the time, he was the NFL's 13th leading rusher of all time, with 6,702 yards. However, the trade was voided after a urine analysis conducted by the Dolphins showed cocaine in his system. Afterwards, Muncy entered an Arizona drug rehabilitation center for a month. On November 15th, he was suspended indefinitely by the NFL. He never played another NFL game. In March 1985, Chargers owner Alex Spanos said Muncy would never play for the Chargers again, even if his suspension was lifted.
He then was found basically living under a bridge in like 89, and I think died of a heart attack in 2013 at age 60.
In the late 1980s, Muncy was found unwashed and homeless by a police officer outside of Memorial Stadium in Berkeley. In 1989, Muncy was sentenced to 18 months in a federal prison in California after he pleaded guilty to intending to sell 2 ounces of cocaine to a friend. His life turned around after prison, pursuing business interests and sharing stories of his drug problems with at-risk youths. Muncy said his time in prison likely saved his life. He worked with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. In 1997, he established the Chuck Muncy Youth Foundation in Antioch, California, just over the hill from where I grew up. nonprofit organization mentioned mentored at-risk youth and provided free medical services, childhood immunizations, tattoo removal for gang members, and camps for chronically ill children. Muncy also led a program that mentored athletes at his alma mater in Berkeley. In his later years, he also ran a recruiting service evaluating high school football players.
Well, the question is, and then he died of a heart attack at 60. I don't know. Did he have a good life or a bad life? I'm trying to figure out Chuck Muncy's life.
Yeah, the highs and the lows.
Yeah, that's the whole. That's the range of life.
Yes,
being at the top of your game and beloved, and being found under a bridge and being in prison
next to the stadium you're setting the records at. Yeah, I got to tell you, it's like I do this with Chuck Muncy. I'll do it with the Love Boat. People guest starring the Love Boat. Sure. Go look them up. It's like, oh, it's crazy. It's all crazy.
The highs and lows.
Unbelievable.
Yes. But at least there's a lot there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What
you, what you don't want is nothing there. All right. Let me tell you about Bright Cellars. Even a connoisseur like me. Well, even for me, it can be hard to find a wine you love with Bright Cellars. You go to their website. You fill out a 7-question palate quiz about things you like, such as flavor types you like. You like chocolate. What's an ideal setting to drink wine? Then they ship you 6 bottles based on your answers. Finding your new favorite wine has never been easier. I just was trying the Vanishing Act Pinot Noir, actually. That's why I brought it in here. Mm. It was delectable. Best part is, if you don't like a bottle, Bright Cellars offers a delight guarantee and will send you a replacement in your next order. Help support us by supporting Bright Cellars. Right, Dawson?
To help you find your new partner in wine, we're giving you 50% off your first 6-bottle box from Bright Cellars by going to brightcellars.com/ACS. Head to brightcellars.com/ACS. That's Bright Cellars, brightcellars.com/ACS to receive 50% off your first 6-bottle order. Bright Cellars, helping you discover wine they'll love.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I got some phone calls. I got some more to share right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
I got a rich man, poor man. Never used Ticketmaster. You're either poor or you got an assistant. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
That's a good rich man, poor man.
You know the band. They just let you in VIP.
All right, let's see. We have the clip. Gio was able to find the clip from Loveline that I told you guys the whole Alec Baldwin story and how he became a Loveline fan or an Adam Carolla fan.
He was in the limo.
And town car.
Yeah.
And his driver used to tape Loveline and they used to just pop in the cassettes and listen on their way to set. But there was one particular story that got him enchanted with me. And it was from November 2002. It was with System of a Down.
I was there.
Brian was there.
I think I was, yeah.
Oh, in 02? Yeah, you must
late 02. I must have been around by then.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it's a 2-minute clip. And I haven't heard it since then, but it is the clip that Baldwin heard that inspired him to be such a fan of mine. So it'll be a little window into Baldwin's psyche, by the way.
All right, hey, Troy, here's the problem with this. I understand you want this, if you talk her into it and she doesn't want to do it
she'll
and she lets you do it,
forever.
She'll resent you for the rest of her life.
That's right.
Plus, my cracker in half.
That's the problem. And do you like her? Do you love her?
Yeah, I love her.
But Detroit, help me understand what that does for you. Just for my own understanding, why is that important to you?
It doesn't do nothing for me. It's just something that I've never done. So therefore, I'm.
Well, there's a lot of things I've never done that you know I don't particularly have to do.
Well, that's one thing I feel I have to do.
Why? What is it? What does it do for you? I'm just curious. What is it that it's?
No, it's like watching it on porn. You know, it seems like something fun. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, listen. I got a great simulation. Troy, you listening?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Here's what you do. You take a jelly jar, and you cramp in it. Then you duct tape a bagel to the top of it, and then you rape it. All right?
You heat it up?
Oh my God. Put it in the microwave. I'm just saying that, that is a reasonable simulation.
Can you use dog poop? Is that all right? There's lots of that around.
Yeah, I think the texture's a little different.
Yeah.
Just go to your house and find that popcorn canister.
And here's the deal. Don't make the mistake I made and leave it in the microwave for like
2 minutes.
Two minutes because it'll catch on fire. Yeah.
The mistake I made?
Oh, the cleanup's horrible.
Yeah, just give it a warm-up. Just give it a warm-up.
10 seconds max.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's go vomit. Let's go vomit.
Forget about Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You guys want to go vomit? Anymore,
talking about yams and cranberry sauce tonight. You're talking about bagels and crap.
Bagels and poo.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Great show.
Let's. Cinema Down has turned on the show now, Drew.
Well, I don't want to talk about crap.
All right, well, no more.
No more crap.
All right, let's take a little break. Let's get our crap together. We'll
Mr.
be right
Hanky.
Back.
Thanks.
There it is.
Wow. That's where he fell in love.
He was smitten. I think it was a kind of a pragmatism.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And I think a strong and reasonable use of the word rape.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
who's it hurting? A bagel?
You know what he liked?
What?
He liked my can-do spirit.
Oh, you
literally
did.
In a can.
That's
can,
good.
Can-duty.
All right. Rob is up there, line one from St. Paul wants to pull balls for the early show Saturday. Rob?
Hey, guy.
Hi, guy.
Hey, Bald. Hey, Gina. Hey, from Minnesota.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I definitely have been smelling your balls on a nightly basis here thanks to the candle. I'd love to have an opportunity to handle them this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I like the cut of your jib. Well, tell me about yourself, Rob. The early show Saturday sold out. But I think there's a few tickets left for the late show if you guys want to come out to that. But what makes you qualify to be a ball puller?
Well, I used to be I used to be in the bingo back in the day when I got into my teens. Pretty pretty regular
experience.
Bingo player.
A lot of people have trouble handling the hopper. Mm-hmm. They turn it the wrong way.
No.
The balls spill out. It is Chinese fire drill up there on that stage. So you're already in the catbird seat. If you tell me you've got some time logged turning a bingo hopper. Keep going.
I do. Absolutely. Well, I have tickets to both shows. As soon as I heard you're coming to town, I locked both of those down. Mm-hmm. I work at a car dealership. I've been with us 25 years. Mm-hmm. I'm actually out in one of my parts vans right now. Try to find a little quiet space. It's hard to have a quiet moment in a service department. So
Rob, mm-hmm. Rob, what part of St. Paul are you in?
Minnesota Mom?
Yeah, I want to know what...
Hey, Minnesota Mom.
Hi, I want to know where in St. Paul.
South of the city is there in Inver Grove Heights.
Oh,
just
sure.
South of the St. Paul there.
Oh, yeah, you know, the kids call it the Heights. They say, hey, Mom, we're going in the Heights because they saw the musical on HBO.
I think they called it that before the musical, though.
Oh, I thought it was from the musical. I thought the people were a little darker skinned on the musical than in St. Paul, but I don't judge. I love musicals.
Yeah, they're different color over there.
We become a lot more diverse here.
Oh, sure.
It's a big Somali population.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so I've worked around cars for 25 years, and then I also have a part-time job, janitorial work, cleaning about 15, 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So when I leave my main job, I go clean office buildings, listen to the podcasts. Yeah. I'm excited. What you do?
What kind of car dealership do you work at? What makes?
Volkswagen. Currently, we're Volkswagen. When I started, we were Saturn, and then as we know, Saturn went away. Mm-hmm. One of my stores became Mitsubishi Suzuki, and I'm at our Volkswagen dealership. So we work on Volkswagens, and then I get phone calls for Audi and little Porsche stuff.
Some Jerry Lundegaard shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, remember Saturn? Saturn's whole thing was like. Remember their whole sales pitch, what Saturn was?
What?
Saturn's
a different kind of car company. It's a different kind of car.
No haggling? Or?
Yeah, it was like, here's the price. You don't have to haggle, which I guess was innovative and smart, except for the car was a piece of shit. So it's like, that was the only problem.
We weren't allowed to call them plastic. We had to refer to them as polymer.
Oh.
There was a whole thing where it's like the body panels, you could, you know, take a shopping cart and bump into it and it would dent in and pop out. Like it was, they were.
I'm sold.
They were like on the brink of something, innovative. But they were still GM and it was still the 80s and 90s and they weren't able to get it together.
Growing up in Kansas, I thought people with Saturns were loaded. Like Saturns were nice for a minute.
Kansas 10s.
Okay.
You know, anything new seemed good when I was a kid. Yeah. So if you had a Chrysler K car, but it was 1981, you were like a winner we're all driving VW Bugs. Sorry, Rob.
That's all right.
You went from Saturn to Isuzu.
Mitsubishi.
Suzuki and Mitsu for a little while, and then they transferred out to this Volkswagen store a while ago.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love parts. You know, a lot of people talk about technicians or sales, but I actually think parts is the most interesting department. Mm. It's never boring. For somebody who likes to keep busy, it's a great place to work.
Say keep busy, but then you have sort of a part-time job. They don't do you full-time over there?
Yep, full-time at the dealership. So I work Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and then I go and clean from 6:30 till 10:30 or 11.
You need a raise, honey.
A break would be nice too.
What do they pay you an hour for both jobs?
I'm making just over 20 at the dealership and about 25 cleaning.
And then at the dealership,
we got bonuses and all the good stuff too.
Yeah, you got a family to take care of?
No, actually, I am single. That's kind of a long story. I almost became a priest. Actually, I went back to college a few years ago, got my degree in philosophy. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be a priest, you kind of have to give up the family thing. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out. So now I'm single and,
Why? You seem like you're working a lot. Is there something you're saving for? Is there a plan?
Yeah. Well, I'm saving up. During the COVID, I figured with everything locked down, it's a good time to make some extra money.
Sure.
But, yeah, I'd like to get away here within about 10 years or so. My dad has a cabin up north in northern Minnesota that I'd like to be able to move to.
Is it by Grand Rapids, where the home of Judy Garland?
What was that?
Is it by Grand Rapids?
Northeast of there. It's actually in a town called Babbitt. About 5 minutes south of the Boundary Waters Canoe area, which is kind of our big forest that we have up north.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, Rob. You've been passed on to anointed with the title of ball puller for the early show Saturday night. What other show you get a ticket for?
I got tickets for both, so I'm going to go to the early show, find out something to do, and then come to the second show.
Well, thanks, Rob, and thanks for all your hard work.
And then you can relax during the late show because you're not working.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan.
All right, Rob. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right.
Chris is invited into a threesome with a combined 9.
Oh,
okay.
He's from Hoboken, New Jersey. Chris, 50, threesome.
Adam.
Corolla, what's up?
Hey, man. I have a new segment proposition for you called WOD.
WOD.
What would Adam do?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. We did What Would Adam Do on the Man Show.
No.
You can look up What Would Adam Do. We did one.
Piss on your
wasn't
wallet.
Wasn't there one about wiping your ass with a cat?
Yeah, there was. That's the only one I remember. The What Would Adam Do was me sitting on a toilet. I remember it very well. Bobcat Goldthwait directed.
Mm.
I was trapped on the toilet with no toilet paper. And what would Adam do?
You had a magazine in one hand and a cat walking by.
Grab a cat.
Yeah, but do not forget that bit was edited by Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, really?
Because there was a gag in there. I was at like my mother-in-law. You're at your mother-in-law's house. You drop a deuce. You're out of toilet paper. What would Adam do? And there was a cat walking by.
I remember the cat.
But there was, oh, I want me and Bob, because, you know, Bob's Bobcat. I was like, it should, I wanted a Bible and like a porn magazine. Be like, which one do I desecrate? Like, which one do I rip?
Sure,
the
who's sacred text?
And Jimmy's like, no, no Bible. You can't do the Bible. And I was like, why? Because Jimmy's fairly Christian devout? Or Catholic or something. He's not devout, but
it means something.
It means something to him. Yeah.
He's a Saint John, for God's sake.
He wouldn't do the bit where I had sex with my mom. That was supposed to be him. He was like, I'm not going to do that bit. So the man does have scruples.
He has standards.
He has standards. Right, even if they interrupt my creative flow. Chris, tell me about the... we'll see if we can find that bit, but I want to know about your threesome.
Well, I was invited into a threesome. This was someone I had met online, just the one person. And we met up, and she asked if I'd be interested in going in with her girlfriend. She was actually, I guess, bi, whatever. Uh-huh. And I'm already in over my head. Mm-hmm. And I meet with them, and, you know, like I said, a combined nine, love, nice people, whatever. And I'm for it. I'm recently single and I'm looking for new experiences, but I'm intimidated.
How does the combined nine break down?
I'm going to say a four and was the person that I, initially had met up with, mm-hmm. and then her girlfriend partner was, you know, five.
So she mm-hmm. had a friend who looked just like her, but it had braces.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You know, bigger women, but you know, it was, you know, fun.
Nothing wrong with that.
Possibly. And, fine. Average, fours and fives.
Wait, hold on. We now have What Would Adam Do? I think the man show bit.
Yeah, breaking
Hang on
news.
A second. Yeah, from 2002. We'll get the sound figured out in a second. We'll play you that. I can't remember. I must have done a series of What Would Adam Do, but I think it was toward the end. So I didn't think
Oh, two was the end of the show, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe it was 01.
I'm just saying 02.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if this is from 02 or not.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just throwing a date out there. But I think I remember shooting it. I remember a handful of bits we shot that were sort of toward the end of our run. So here it is. Sorry.
Tough decisions. We put together this important educational series titled, What Would Adam Do?
The Man Show presents, What Would Adam Do? You're visiting your mother-in-law. She's out of toilet paper. Do you A, use your favorite magazine, or B, use your sock?
What would Adam do?
Through the magazine aside, oh, I spot something. A large white Persian cat.
Wait a second.
The best part is you're holding it by the scruff.
That was a real cat.
Yeah, it was pawing at him to get free.
Hey, man.
It's fucking
Listen,
method.
I'm a crowd pleaser. That's method. That's right.
Thanks, Stella Adler.
Wow.
Yeah, no magazine, no sock. I Cat's reached out of the picture and introduced the large white Persian cat.
You had the cat by the scruff.
I know, he's not
Well,
happy.
How else am I going to pull off the one-hand backside reach around, you know?
That's a good point.
Yeah, don't blame him.
I can't grab it by the rib cage. No. It never would.
Yeah, the tail.
And we had when we pulled out, you could see the kitty litter cat box in the foreground.
Good
strong
detail.
Production.
That's good.
Yeah, that Bob Cab is a hell of a director, you know?
Yeah, he's done some things.
He's done some good movies, yeah. For sure.
I don't know if there were any others. That is the only one I recall, but maybe there were others. All right, let's see. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Chris?
Yeah, well, we got to bring that bit back, man, because I think you need to answer a lot of unanswered questions like mine. What would you do?
Well, I go with the tabby.
The morning of the event, I got a text from my initial, you know, contact telling me that she just started her period.
Sweet.
What's is there an emoji for that?
Well, this was many years ago. So this is before the emoji
stuff. Should tell face to face.
Great, gotcha. You know, mm-hmm. the flip phone thing. And so she's like, you know, just so you know, I just started my period, but all good.
Oh,
but all good.
Game on.
Well, wait, no, that should be all good? Question mark, because that's kind of up to you at that point.
Now, I, you know,
that
what
might
I
have, actually, Gina, you may be correct
that
the grammar I'm a little off, but like they were fine with it.
Got it.
Wait, hold on. Is that the kind of thing where you go, oh, I'll be happy to pick you up from the airport. I do have the flu, but I'll be happy to let you ride in my smart car. And then you know what? Just why don't we?
I'm
fine.
I could come into work today, but right. I got a nasty cold.
Yeah, that's her saying, I'm down with it, but you're going to.
Yeah, I'll give you the out.
You're going to put the kibosh on this. Well, yeah. What'd you do, Chris?
Well, I caved. I chickened out. Oh. And but here's the thing. The wrinkle to your hypothesis is they were pissed.
Mm.
Like,
oh.
She seemed pissed at me like I was being unreasonable, which is why it's always been a lingering question. Like, was I being weird, like, you know, like OCD or something, like weird that this is a thing for me? It's an honest question. Like, their reaction made me rethink.
When you think about it, Chris, there's two women and you, plenty of Orify, so that didn't need to necessarily be an issue.
This show is taking a turn for the scat today, man.
I'm just saying, there's other choices, but I feel you.
I guess sharing fluids with strangers 10 years, you know, this was a couple years ago. I got skittish about it.
I get you.
It's not
a woman's favorite.
The reaction confused me, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you ever pick it up, or did you just kind of...
No.
It was burnt.
Yeah.
One and done.
Well, look, in a way, I feel the same way about, you know, a threesome as I do about being propositioned by a gay guy. Not gay, but it would be nice.
To be asked.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think being asked to be in a threesome is most of the news a guy needs. You
it's
know what I mean?
Endorsement.
I mean, a threesome is awesome, but just knowing that you're in the hunt.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I agree. All right. Let me tell you guys about Craig Tool, this beautiful Craig pocket hole jig, 520 Pro, most versatile pocket hole jig ever built. Works with a wide variety of material. Great for all types of indoor and outdoor wood projects. It's a 520 Pro. It comes with everything you need, drill and driver bits, so you can drive the screws with one bit and drill it with the other. Material gauge, it's a classic face clamp, 100 Craig pocket hole screws, special screws for doing it this way. Project plan retails for just $99.99.
Yeah. Insane thing in your hand?
Yes, it is a jig that you use if you're building... If you're putting things together, it's very hard to do it, especially if you're alone. It takes a bunch of clamps. There's bar clamps, face frame clamps, clamp straps and everything. But with this,
sound like Bubba Gump.
You just do it. You just ratchet it in like
this. Hand vise.
And then they have, and then they have the different size holes and drop it in. And you fasten it. You can make your own furniture. You can make your own cabinetry. Yeah. You can, you know, storage. Your garage. Everyone's got a garage, needs some storage. You call one of those garage storage companies, your mind would be blown by how expensive those cabinets are. Just do it yourself. Go in your garage and make it yourself with your Craig Joiner. You can use our pocket hole jig. You can go to like Home Depot or whatever, and you can buy all the blanks. Like you can buy the stuff like you see in a custom closet, the stuff that's vinyl coated and white or like pre-drilled. Buy it, just cut it to length and fasten it together with your Craig Jig 520 Pro. Yes, feel it.
It looks
there's
cool.
Heft. It has heft, and it is substantial. It's available at Nationwide, and you can also get it at Home Depot. You can get it at Lowe's, if you like. You can get it at home centers, woodworking, hardware stores. And look, people, I've been saying it since COVID, but actually before COVID, get to the garage and get busy. Get your sanity back. Get a project going. And if you're going to get a project going, buy a couple of decent tools to help facilitate that whole thing. It's a the Craig... It is the 520 Pro Pocket Hole Jig, and you can get it, well, just about anywhere you get tools. You can learn more at craigtool.com. That is KREGtool.com, and get going with your projects, people. All right, Sammy the Bull is here. We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk to him right after this.